And now, on with the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome once again. It's time for another episode of Weekend Watch, a production of Green Mushroom Media. I am your host, Spencer, here with David.
That's me.
And Jonathan.
That's also me.
Guys, are you ready to talk about some movies and TV shows? Some pretty great stuff to stream this weekend.
I'm debatable.
I'll be ready.
I'm ready to talk about it.
I'll make myself.
The latter half is debatable.
Fair enough. Hey, well, you know, we'll get into it. We got no theme this week, so we just got a little bit of a hodgepodge, a veritable cornucopia of different stuff to check out, right?
Yeah, stuff from all over.
Stuff from all over. So let's get into it. We got some stuff. Why don't we start off with the pick I'm excited to talk about the most. Jonathan, what should we watch this weekend?
She's going to throw me every single time. You throw me at first, huh?
Hey man, stop picking great stuff.
So for my pick this week, I chose Barbarian on HBO. Let's see what kind of terrible synopsis we have here. A woman staying at an Airbnb discovers that the house she has rented is not what it seems. I mean, I guess that's true. Sort of.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. It leaves a lot to the imagination. So essentially, this is we have a story of a woman named Tess who travels to Detroit for a job interview. She is a filmmaker, or I guess wants to be. I guess she is, technically. And she books an Airbnb. She gets to the Airbnb. And when she gets there, discovers that there is somebody else staying in that Airbnb. Who is played by everybody's favorite clown, one of the Skarsgårds.
Old Billy Skars.
Yeah, who in a turn that you don't expect here, because I assumed he was the bad guy. He's not the bad guy.
Or is he?
We don't know. Yeah. But anyway, so against her better judgment, she decides to spend the night there with said creepy man. Who she is immediately suspicious of, and crazy things happen.
She's very standoffish.
She is very standoffish.
I get it. This is a strange person in a strange place, and yeah, I get it.
And he looks like Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah, but she's just like immediately very on guard.
Yeah, which is very understandable in this situation.
I feel like we could do an entire show. I could talk for an hour about this movie. And I'm a little tempted to, but I don't want to spoil it because this movie has so many twists and turns.
That's why I'm kind of being like, cause this one is a new one. Like,
you know? Yeah.
Yeah. This one actually is like a brand new movie. I don't want to spoil for people. Unlike when we spoil 25-year-old movies.
Right. Right.
So, I just generally speaking, I thought it was well made. I thought the kind of uneasy creep factor worked really well. Had some good gore in it. The aspect of it that makes it creepy, scary is effective. I think it was fun.
It was very good.
Definitely.
Great horror.
The twists, the turns. That was the thing. Is I could not predict where this movie was going.
Well, and especially because it turns
every time halfway through. Right, I thought I had a finger on it the whole like every, and then 2 seconds later something would change, and suddenly I have no fucking idea what's happening anymore.
Yeah, it really leaves you hanging. Like, is it a as to what kind of movie it's going to be? Whether is it like a serial killer dungeon movie? Is it like just like a weird like social bad neighborhood mood? Like it's a very strange, it has a lot of weird, I don't want to say tonal inconsistencies because that makes it sound bad, but like the tone shifts
it's so many times. Yeah, it's intentional and done well. There's a point like you said, the first act of the movie is straight up creepy. Mm-hmm. Horror movie, like traditional horror movie vibes. You don't even know if there's something supernatural going on or not. for a good portion of the movie. And then there's a sudden slam tone shift.
The Justin Long sequence.
Right. You get and that becomes like horror comedy for a while. And then you get again another complete slammed in your face tone shift back to the original feeling. And it's just it was a wild ride. This was probably my favorite movie of the year so far.
Yeah, I do need to rewatch it. There's so much that it's such a straightforward and simple movie, but there's still so much there that I need to rewatch it. It's very, very like the plot, super straightforward, super easy, then not for a little bit, and then back to being straightforward and easy, but also real super creepy.
I am a huge fan of Richard Brake. He has got to be one of my favorite horror movie guys.
I was happy to see him. He's like an Easter egg himself, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah. Like he's in so many. He's got so many like character roles. But he's a character actor for sure. In horror movies, that he blends into so many of them, and he's like, oh, is that that guy? That is that guy. Have you guys ever watched 31 Rob Zombie's horror movie?
No.
Oh man, I think it's probably his best one. And Richard Brake is
the answer to that for me.
Yeah, this one I think you would actually like. This is probably the one horror movie of his I think you would enjoy, Jonathan.
What do you remember Richard Brake most from?
For me, it was 31.
31?
Yeah.
JP, is there a movie that stands out for...
Well, first off, let me figure out who the hell you're talking... Oh,
yeah, as soon as you see him, you'll recognize him.
I recognize him, but I honestly couldn't tell you a single movie he's in.
Movie for me is... Dark Knight. He's Joe Chill.
That's right.
He plays Joe Chill.
Okay.
I did not see that on his IMDb.
Or Batman Begins.
Not Dark Knight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you gotta murder the Waynes in the first installment.
That's true. He's just in so many fucking movies. If you look at his catalog, the page scrolls forever.
It does, but I like that. But also he's only been acting for 20 years, and I like some of his roles. Like he's in Munich as belligerent American.
Nice.
He'll just take on random. He's in The Counselor with that Robert Downey Jr. movie as second man. He just randomly pops up for 2 seconds in a kind of credited role.
He was in the Dune movie.
Yeah. Dune. Nice. The one with the rock. That one.
Yeah.
Oh no. Apparently he's the Night King.
He's like one of the
Night King.
Apparently.
All right.
Oh yeah, I forgot that he played the Night King. I saw that at some
Oh yeah, there it is. Only 2 episodes though. I wonder why.
Cuz there was another dude too that I read a whole thing about it.
Just find like creepy looking gaunt white men to play the Night King.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter. They all look the same at that point.
Man, he has been in a bunch of Rob Zombie movies.
I mean,
that's Halloween 2, 31 Three from Hell, The Munsters, apparently.
I mean, Zombie, for better or mostly worse, likes to stick with the same actors for things.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is one of the reasons I don't like most of his movies, is because his wife can't act for shit.
I mean, that's fair. She's not great.
Brake played the Night King in seasons 4 and 5.
Oh.
And then Slovakian actor Vladimir Furdyk took over for 6 to 8.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Also, I apologize for driving Sherry Moon Zombie away from listening to this podcast now after I've trashed her acting, but...
Yeah, sure, she was a big fan before.
It is not the first time she's been trashed on this podcast.
I thought I saw her tweet something about you guys, so I might have ruined that.
But back to Barbarian. I didn't realize that the writer and director, Zach Cregger, was a big part of The Whitest Kids You Know.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's yet another of the comedy to horror pipeline in Hollywood, I guess, with mixed results considering Danny McBride's turn with the Halloween franchise.
He did. I liked the first one.
Yeah, he made one good horror movie.
Yeah.
But then you got Jordan Peele, and now this guy, so...
I mean, if we're being fair, the Jordan Peele's a real mixed bag for me, too, so...
3 movies, and you've seen 2 of them. You,
It's highly controversial.
Get Out's good. I haven't seen Nope yet. No, I didn't particularly care for Us. I haven't seen Nope yet, but I'll get there. Some guy over here busting my tits.
Well, check out Barbarian. Barbarian is easily so far for me the best new horror movie of the year. You will not put a finger on what's coming. It's nuts, and it's on HBO Max. So check it out now. And with that, we're going to move on to my pick this week, which is the new FX original documentary series, Welcome to Wrexham, which follows Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' foray into purchasing a fifth-tier Welsh soccer team in the middle of a pandemic. It basically follows from start to, from the moment they bought the team up until the end of their first full season as owners, everything that happens with the team. It focuses very seriously on what's going on in the town of Wrexham and how how the change in ownership has affected the town. And it's just a really cool kind of crash course in English football. It's funny. It's heartwarming. I've been loving every second of it. How far in did you guys get to this?
I finished it. It's stellar. It is a look at not only these comedians owning and attempting to operate a football team. It's a good look at the culture of this town, of football culture, of everything that goes into that. It's a look into the individual lives of a few of the fans of Wrexham, and what that means for them. It is, like you said, heartfelt. It is very sincere. It is hilarious, and I really loved it. And I'm not a soccer fan. I didn't give a single squirt about that aspect of the, other than the wins and losses. I watched it for these relationships in here. There's a lot here.
And I feel like even not being a fan of English football, like you kind of get into it, like knowing all these people's stories and just how much passion goes into it. You start finding yourself rooting for them, right?
I don't think you can't. Once you see these people's enthusiasm and passion for their favorite hobby, it's the same thing that got me sucked into Magic when we were playing back in the fucking Dorothy House days. Like we'd go over there and everybody's yelling at each other and like making jokes and insults and huge plays, and you get sucked into this thing and it becomes your life.
Kind of the passion of the story, for sure. And man, I love a good sports documentary, but I do, like I said, even more so how it delved super deep into the history of the town, the history of the club, the passion that the townspeople have for the team. It was just, I also, a lot of the interactions between Rob and Ryan were fun. They were clearly scripted, but still quite funny. Yeah. And I don't know, just overall, it kind of touches on every aspect of the impact they've made in this place. And, it's what, 18 episodes, I think. And every single one of them was start to finish just so much fun.
It's 18 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've only made it through like the fourth one. And so it is just now starting to get to a point where I actually care. Cause I find football, soccer to be the perhaps most boring sport on earth. I didn't really care about the show until we got to the point where they were actually started talking about the town and each individual player and that sort of thing. Then I thought it got much better and quite interesting. But for me, it was a little bit slow start because I don't care at all, but it is good once you get into the actual team and the like why this is such a big deal for Wrexham and for the players and all that stuff. So I do think it's good. I think that anybody that actually does care about football would be significantly more interested than I was.
But I like that they don't assume that that the people watching know exactly what's going on, so they kind of help you along with understanding how the system works with, you know, promotions and relegations to different leagues and what it is they're trying to achieve.
I mean,
kind of explaining some of the rules that are a little more arcane.
Ryan and Rob didn't know what all that. I mean, they put on that show at least.
Right.
That was the premise of these two guys coming into literally a complete other country. Rob was talking about how he's a big American football fan, but our leagues work completely differently. And it's a different sport. It's a different culture. You have to. It's a deep dive or jumping into the deep end. I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. And they do a great job with it, making it accessible to people who don't care about the sport. And it's just a lot of fun. Like I said, definitely a series worth checking out. It is, like I said, an FX original, currently streaming on Hulu, all episodes now. Well, David, bring us home.
My pick this week is Little Demon on Hulu. I got kind of curious. It's got Danny DeVito's name all over it, and it's about the devil. So I thought I'd give it a shot. I gotta say, honestly, there was another little encouraging factor is it's being protested by, 1 million moms. A more appropriate name might be half a dozen uppity cunts. So I was like, yeah, if 1 million moms hates it, I'm interested.
We should just start using their website as a watch list.
That's not a bad idea. It tells the story of Laura Feinberg and her daughter Chrissy Feinberg, who is the Antichrist. She's the daughter of the devil, played by Danny DeVito. Aubrey Plaza plays Laura, and Lucy DeVito plays Chrissy. She's a pretty normal. She's like 13, 12 or 13 year old girl. Yeah. Anyway. And as soon as she gets her first period and the first experience of her powers, which comes simultaneously, her life quickly begins to unravel. I had somewhat, I know there's something, there's a quality about this that doesn't make me all the way love it. And then there's a lot of qualities to it that do make me really enjoy it. There's a lot of genuine family dynamics going on here. Laura Feinberg is simultaneously a single mother and a very powerful witch. One powerful enough to copulate with the devil and bring about the Antichrist. So she is capable in that aspect, but completely bumbling when it comes to being a mom. I really enjoy the dynamic between the two parents and the child who's honestly genuine. I mean, I thought that they dealt with a lot of these situations in very, oddly enough, adult and responsible ways, despite this show being rather basic in some of its humor. It's gory. It's ridiculous. The devil, Danny DeVito plays the devil. So it's him making dick jokes and gutting people all the time. It's ridiculous. Did you guys get a chance to watch a good portion of this?
I've seen maybe 4-5 episodes, something like that.
That's what I think I'm in the 6th-ish episode now.
And so that is my issue with the show is when I'm watching it, it's enjoyable. It's funny. You know, it's fun toilet humor, you know, it's dick and fart jokes and blood and gore and stuff. And like you said, I enjoy the dynamics, the interactions between the whole family and what they're exploring with the show. And then I turn it off and completely forget about it. There's something about this show that is just like, yeah, that's a fun show. And then I finish it and then I forget that it exists for a week at a time.
Funny enough, I had to go look at the pins to remember what my pick last week was.
I don't quite understand what's going on with it. Like,
there's so many guests.
It's not bad by any stretch. It's a good show. People should watch it. I've been enjoying it. But for some reason, I can't tell you what happened in the last episode I watched, which was like 2 days ago.
It's JP. What do you think?
So I agree with Spencer. I find that when I'm watching it, I'm like, all right, this is fine. But it kind of feels to me like a bargain version of Big Mouth. It is covering a lot, some of the same material, right? In the sense that she's like, the reason that she finds out that she's the Antichrist is that right at the beginning, she has her first period.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden Danny DeVito shows up.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, it seems to be like treading the same waters as Big Mouth, but not doing it as competently. And it's not bad. It's just forgettable.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sure.
Like I don't hate it.
I enjoyed it, but
yeah.
Yeah, it is a perfectly fine show.
Like if Danny DeVito were not in it, I don't think it would have like any traction probably.
He's not just in it. Him, the DeVito's produced it.
Yeah, I was going to say it's his baby.
It's like his all baby, over the
basically.
Place.
But I think if it weren't for that, this show would not exist. Basically.
Well, yeah. And okay. Like I said, because it's DeVito, he's pulling all his strings. So there's a bunch of big name cameos in this. Michael Shannon plays the like hunter, the demon hunter that's tracking them down. Who played? Oh man, I remember like recognizing a couple of voices. Damn it!
There's some random people that show up for 5 minutes.
Who played the giant when? I don't even know if you guys have made it that far.
What's his name from The Conjuring? Patrick Wilson. Patrick Wilson shows up at one point too. He does a voice randomly. There's just so many random, like Lamorne Morris is in it for like one episode or something like that. It's
apparently Mel Brooks was in this. Rhea Perlman. Of course.
Well, Rhea Perlman makes sense, sure.
Yeah, of course. Patrick Wilson, like you said. Dave Bautista. I remember I was like,
Bautista shows up? All right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger at one point. I remember
Schwarzenegger. Not bad by any means. It's just forgettable. Like, it's, I don't hate it while I'm watching it, but I also don't think about it when I'm done.
Yeah. I think you guys kind of nailed it, unfortunately. Yeah. I want this to develop into something more engaging. I feel like there's a lot of potential here.
I agree with that. I just don't think it lives up to that quite yet.
It needs to be more engaging right now.
Yeah, and if it gets a second season, then great. You know, hopefully it finds its voice in a second season. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It's on Hulu.
Check it out. It's on Hulu. It's Little Demon. Let's move on then. Those are our recommendations for the week. We got some news to talk about. You guys want to talk about some news?
No.
Because there's some stuff. For example, Henry Cavill is being replaced in The Witcher Season 4 by Liam Hemsworth.
I have to say, this is a big show. Now, I've not watched any of The Witcher, but this is a weird turn for Netflix to recast instead of just canceling the damn show after two seasons.
That's because it's so popular. This is one of their biggest shows right now.
Plenty of their shows have been popular that they've canceled. They don't give a shit.
Yeah, but this is close to the level of Stranger Things. Like, people are going crazy every time there's a new Witcher season.
Seriously, is it really that popular?
It is huge, man.
All right.
Yeah. I saw that news was all over Reddit as soon as it happened. It was, if you see like five of the top posts on the all front page, that's big fucking news.
Yeah, no reason was given, and I'm really curious about it. Like, what was it? Because David, you were saying that Henry Cavill is like a Witcher super fan, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've read from quite a few different sources, is that in addition to like reading ahead in the book series and taking an active role in the script, he's in addition to that. Sorry, that's it.
Isn't he a huge fan of the games as well?
He plays the games. He reads the books. He, for some reason, Henry Cavill's just this ridiculous super nerd that I aspire to be. and he's also
has abs of steel.
Fuck him.
I have to assume it's related to just the schedule, right? Like,
yeah, it's just odd though, because you would think that this would be the. I would have thought that this would have been the one that would have taken precedence over any other project, but apparently
maybe
not.
Maybe he had like a 2-year contract and then wanted more money.
So that was my initial sense, was it not the more money thing, was that he took a Superman role, right? We heard that he's picking up the mantle of Superman again. And if I'm remembering the rumor mill correctly, he was a pain in the ass to work with during season one of The Witcher. There was, because of the conflicting schedules working on The Last Superman and season one simultaneously.
Right.
They had to like edit out his fucking mustache, right?
Yeah, but that was for Mission Impossible, though.
That was Mission Impossible.
Yeah, but they're not even in the whatever Superman role he's going to be in. They're not even in like pre-production on that film. Whereas The Witcher season 3 would be coming out next year, right? So it's got to be something other than that, I would assume.
Yeah,
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know. Can a Hemsworth do it? Maybe. He is, what, like third tier Hemsworth?
My fear is, so in addition to, I mean, we not in addition, the fact that Cavill was such a Witcher super fan and apparently was like throwing his very large 2 cents into the script writing, and then we hear other rumors about there's other writers that actively dislike the source material. I hope that Cavill leaving the show doesn't really affect the quality of the storytelling.
That's a big concern, right? Is maybe he's making a stand here about, you know, they're going in the wrong direction story wise, and he wants them to stay more true to the original and doesn't want to be a part of something that's not.
Yeah, it's a yeah. Unfortunately, too real a possibility.
Let's move on to a couple of weird developments here. We're getting both a Halloween television series coming to Peacock, and A24 is developing a Friday the 13th prequel series. And I hate this news so much.
Did they discuss who's the showrunner for? Did they talk about who the showrunner is for the Halloween series?
Let's see.
Is it Peacock? No, wait. It's not Peacock. What is it? Which?
Yeah, it's going that one's going to Peacock, the Halloween one. And I'm not seeing any information about a.
I thought it was going somewhere else. I thought it was going to go not Peacock, the other one, because Friday the 13th is Peacock. Are they doing both?
No, A24 is doing the Friday the 13th one.
Yeah, but that's also going to Peacock.
If anything, it would be going. My guess would be it would be going to Paramount or Showtime, since that's who A24 has a streaming deal with.
No, it is Peacock. The Friday the 13th series is Peacock.
All right, fair enough. Oh, yeah, there it is. Fair enough. All right. Well, I don't know. Either way.
It's all going to be bad. I don't care. But
So here's the thing, right? Is if a Halloween series is going to depend on what they do with it. If they go the Season of the Witch route, make it an anthology series, I can see it working.
Yeah.
But if they try to do some kind of Michael Myers bullshit in a series form, it's going to be trash.
So that's what they're going to do. So they're getting a both Peacock is getting Friday the 13th and Halloween, which makes no sense to me. But I am I'm a lot hesitant about both.
David, what was your comment about the Friday the 13th one? About how it would wind up just being a group of teenagers bullying and then watching a child with special needs drown?
Yeah. Well, that's the prequel to Friday the 13th.
That is literally
it. That's what happens before Friday the 13th. The first one is his mom coming back to the camp because they fucking let her baby die and she murders all these teenagers. And then the second one is Jason Voorhees coming out of the water because zombies or whatever the fuck animates him.
Is this supposed to be a prequel?
That's what it says. It
says it's going to be a prequel series to Friday the 13th.
So we're just going to have...
That story has been told, man, and it's not good. It's not a horror series. It's just bullying.
Yeah, we're just going to have 7 episodes of shitty 70s teens in short shorts bullying this special needs kid. That's not cool.
And then they get drunk while he goes to the lake and drowns.
Yeah, they get drunk and fuck.
Drunk and fuck, sure.
So
yeah, I don't know. I truly don't understand the point of this.
The problem is, like, what do you even, so is it, So it's just gonna be called Crystal Lake, right? Okay.
Yeah. Uh huh.
So Jason can't appear then, at least not in the killing sense.
Right. Considering there was a whole movie without him in the killing sense before he was even introduced to the franchise.
I am, man, the Halloween or the Friday the 13th franchise is so goddamn uneven anyway.
Yeah,
there's some like, real bad ones.
This is, I would rather just go with the rant with the Michael Myers, he's invincible bullshit than he gets electrocuted back to life during a weird ceremony, like a weird somebody's digging him up in a cemetery and he gets lightning struck. Or he's underwater and gets electrocuted by some underwater cabling that makes no sense being there.
What about when the devil turns him into a worm? That was pretty tight.
Oh.
Or when he's cryogenically frozen and wakes up in space.
Christ. Like, this is my problem with the Friday the 13th series. It's a series I love. But it's so fucking terrible that you don't need to explain why he's reanimated. Just reanimate him. It doesn't matter.
Yep. He's supernatural. He's back. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. Like
supernatural from the very beginning.
The worst movie in the Michael Myers series is when they try to explain in the Halloween series is when they try to explain why it is that Michael Myers is an unstoppable killing machine and it's fucking satanic cult powers. Nobody cares. What step? You don't.
That was the worst part of the whole franchise.
But the worst part of the Halloween franchise, yes. Until you get to Rob Zombie, absolutely.
Okay, that's what I was waiting for.
No, I don't count. That's because the Rob Zombie movies don't exist in my mind.
Ah, fair enough.
They're Halloween's crystal skulls.
I mean, even I would rather have Satanic Cult be the reason than what they did in the Danny McBride trilogy, which was he kills every time he kills, he gets stronger for no reason.
I mean, I'd also rather have that than what they do in the Rob Zombie ones, where it's just that trauma makes you kill.
40 minutes of trauma, by the way.
Sure. White trash trauma makes you kill. That's the Rob Zombie version. I don't like that one either. So
it's all bad. And these series also promise to be bad. Let's get into more bullshit about.
But you do like A24.
And yeah, but I don't know. We'll see. We got more news. Danny Boyle has said that he and Alex Garland have finished the script for 28 months later.
Man,
Cillian Murphy is apparently interested in returning to the series.
But
have you guys watched either of these movies recently? The first two?
So I recently know, but maybe 5 years ago, I watched both of them. 28 weeks later is garbage. It's that movie is fucking awful.
I also feel like 28 Days Later doesn't hold up. It is very much a late 90s, early 2000s aesthetic.
I feel like when was the last time I watched 28 Days Later? It wasn't too. It was within the last year. It
holds up significantly better than Weeks. Weeks is just a bad film, and 28 Days Later I think has lost some of its impact, but it's still. It's still a good film. It's just
it was
not a good
premise. It was executed decently. It feels very of its time.
Yes.
In the aesthetic choices that the filmmaker made.
That's what you get with Danny Boyle, right?
Right. Yes. Very true.
So, I mean, I'm sure that there are people who love the franchise and are super, super excited about this. I don't. This one doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I'll probably watch it, but you know, that's about it. All right, what other quick bits do we have here? Oh, let's talk about the funniest thing. Terrifier 2 has been submitted for Oscar consideration.
Is it still
because they thought it would be funny to make members of the Academy have to watch it?
Is it still horror comedy in the same category now?
Say what?
Is it still, does the Academy still do horror comedy together? Is that how it works?
I honestly don't know. I know they did at one point.
I don't remember, nor do I care, because it's the Academy Awards and they're all garbage now. I guess they probably always have been, but, or they mean nothing is probably a better way to put that. Yeah. But I do think that's
I hadn't even really heard of this franchise until 2 came out. and my barber recommended it to me, actually. So we went and rented Terrifier 1 on, I think, Prime Digital or whatever. It was like $3. And it was seriously one of the best, like, super low-budget indie horror movies I've ever seen. It was just the purest form of a slasher that I've ever watched. And really good, really bloody, a lot of fun. Definitely worth checking out. And I'm pretty excited to check out Terrifier 2 now that it's also available to rent digitally.
I heard it described more or less as like a serious Herschel Gordon Lewis movie, basically.
To me, what it... Okay, so basically the entire premise of it is that the filmmaker wanted to take the climax of a slasher movie and make that the entire film. And he did, and it kind of worked. It's if you took the 20-minute climax of a slasher and stretched it into an hour and 15 minutes or so.
I mean, that... I don't see why it wouldn't work.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Definitely worth checking out if you're looking for a underappreciated slasher movie. All right, what else? We finally have a release date for The Last of Us series on HBO coming January 15th. Looking pretty sweet, coming out pretty soon. And, yeah, I don't know. What else?
There's that...
I watched the trailer for The Troll that...
I saw that posted, but I haven't been able to check it out yet. What? Tell me about it.
It looks like Swedish Godzilla. This is
all right.
Like this giant, like, stone skin troll starts threatening this town. And, well, I mean, there's more to it than that. But when he got into the town, I was like, this is just Swedish Godzilla.
Is he gigantic?
Huh?
Is he gigantic?
Yeah, he's huge.
Okay.
Massive.
All right.
How do you feel it relates to Troll Hunter?
It doesn't look dissimilar. And in fact, I was like, is that... I was like drawing that association in my mind. Who made that? Because this...
I'm looking it up. It's not the guy who's making this one. This
Troll. Roar or Roar Uthogs?
Roar Uthog? I don't know.
Yeah.
Jonathan, did you ever see Troll Hunter?
No.
Oh, you should check it out. It was a blast.
And that wasn't because of disinterest. It was because
it has subtitles and you have two children and exactly. Young children in your home.
Yes. Yes. It's my primary problem. What is it? Swedish? Is it Swedish?
Norwegian.
So Swedish?
It's
close enough.
You have to pronounce it Swedish.
Swedish. Norwegian. Yeah, this looks pretty cool. Check out the... You should do me a favor. Post that trailer in our Discord channel, David.
I can.
It looks pretty sweet. Well, I think that's it. That's all the news for now. We're going to wrap
you're
up.
Gonna leave out, whoa. You're going to leave out the pickleball series that's coming?
Yeah, because I got to go poop.
Oh, all right.
I'm gonna talk about everything.
There's a sweet pickleball series coming to Paramount and CBS.
Okay. That's all you got to say.
Actually, it's a special. I don't understand.
Did Rob Corddry buy a pickleball team?
I didn't realize it was a special, which is perplexing because I feel like that would work perfectly as a as an actual like a league style series.
I want that. I want this to be a mockumentary with that being the premise that Rob Corddry got super jealous of Rob McElhaney and Ryan Reynolds, and so he went out and bought a pickleball team. I want that. I really...
I just am... from so
that is not Rob Corddry, by the way. That's what?
Paul Scheer. I was blanking on the names. I'm sorry.
I mean, they're two bald comedic actors, so...
Yeah, and they often act together, so...
I am...
You're right, that's Paul Scheer.
It's weird, because knowing that it's not a show, it sounds like that... When the Lonely Island did that tennis... special that was like 20 minutes long.
Or the Bash Brothers.
Or the Bash Brothers one. I think there was a third one. So, all right. I mean, I'm still going to watch it, but it seems like an odd choice.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Looks
just make
cool.
That thing, just make that shit a series. But
all right. Now I'm wrapping up the show because I really do have to go to the bathroom, guys.
You go.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Once again, to Weekend Watch.
That's what decides the length of our shows is.
Don't forget to check us out. Stop talking.
No, I'm trying to draw this out a little longer.
Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Discord.
It would really amuse me.
Media.com and Patreon. Become a patron. Listen to our other shows. Do all of the fun stuff. And we will see you all next week.